Hello, everybody, and happy Black History Month. Welcome to the Creative Differences Podcast, the podcast that featured all Black people for our first episode of February this year. I am Dallas, and I want to say this is not relevant to anything we're going to be talking about, but shout out to the All Elite Wrestling crowd for their anti-ice chant. Shout out to the announcers for not talking over it, and shout out to the ref for intentionally waiting to start the match to not interrupt it.
I saw that. That was excellent.
I love it.
I'm Cassie, and I didn't watch the thing that we're talking about, but I watched something adjacent. So,
okay. I have an idea what it was.
Yeah.
And I'm Demi, and I had a really fun opener for today, but I didn't want to be the one to start the episode off real spicy and suggestive. So, welcome to another episode of the Creative Differences Podcast, your one-stop shop for movie reviews, Fancast Fridays, Throwback Thursdays, and a number of other pop culture-related items. Today, we are going to be talking about Marvel Studios' Wonder Man.
Wonder Man! Question for you, Demi.
Yeah.
Will there be another place for you to naturally slide that in to the podcast?
I will not be saying it on a microphone. So,
wah.
Ooh.
Wah, wah.
I'll tell you guys off mic. I will not be saying it on mic.
I'll take that. That's fine.
We'll let her freak flag fly in this Black History Month. This is our month. This is the month to embrace all of yourself.
To be fair, it's full innuendo.
Your ancestors fought for your right to do this.
Among other things.
My ancestors fought for me to make lewd jokes. Anyway, like, share, and subscribe.
Yeah. Like, share, and subscribe, because if you don't, you're not Black. You are anti-Black. You are anti-Black.
Ah, okay.
Help us or you're anti-Black. Also, Gabby's not here because she ain't Black.
Is she just forbidden from recordings for this month?
I was going to say, for the record, we did not kick her out.
She recognized that this is time to, like, sit down and listen, you know?
Yeah. She was like, y'all got it.
She's not even here to listen.
She'll listen to the
recording. And she's not
going
to listen to it when it comes out.
But speaking of Black people, we are talking about Wonder Man.
Yes. Who is Black now? Specifically, Haitian, which I love. Shout out to the Haitians. All right. It is created by people who are not Black, Destin Daniel Cretton and Andrew Guest. Destin Daniel Cretton directed Shang-Chi. He directed Just Mercy. He directed Short Term 12. He's directing the next Spider-Man. He be working. And Andrew Guest is a writer who has written for Community, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, 30 Rock, other things. He be writing. The show stars Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, Ben Kingsley, Ex Mayo, Zlatko Bjorik, and Aryan Moyed. And it's based on Wonder Man, Marvel Comics dude. He's an actor. He has powers. He wears red shades.
And he looks cool as hell.
I think sometimes he dates Carol Danvers.
He does. That's how I got introduced to the character was because he's Carol's boyfriend sometimes.
Well, she is consistently down with the swirl.
Well, in the comics,
well, in the comics he's a white dude.
Well, now, I mean...
now she's down with
him. Did they call up Shonda Rhimes? Like...
we'll see. We'll see where it
goes. Speaking of which, though, Marvel, if I could please just get Captain Marvel and Wonder Man in a scene together, that would be great. Thanks. That's what I want now.
We'll see. We'll see if she's down with the swirl. Bring it back. IMDb summary. What does it say? It says, small-time actor Simon Williams struggles to reckon with his personal life while hiding his superpowers as he tries to land his dream role. Meanwhile, a shady government agent leverages an... this is kind of a spoiler. I realized as I'm reading it.
Don't spoil it.
Never mind. I'm not going to read that part.
There are shady government agents. That's all you need to know.
The government is shady, just like real life. That's all you need to
know. Yeah, I don't know. They didn't need to say that. It's kind of an oxymoron.
Or like a redundancy, a government agent is shady? Fire is hot. So, initial thoughts. Wonder Man. It's dope. I like it. Demi, what are your initial thoughts?
Same. I loved it. I had a great time watching it. I really enjoyed it. My favorite part about it is that it's Marvel Studios' version of The Studio, which is a show that I loved last year.
Love it. My favorite show of the year last year.
More on the actor side of things than like the rest of the filmmaking side of things. But like, I really enjoyed that. And I really liked how much of a character piece it felt like it was, instead of it being like superhero heavy, plot heavy. We have to do all this stuff. It was very much about Simon and his relationship with Trevor.
Yeah, because when I first saw the first teaser, I was thinking, oh, this is a show about a guy trying to play Wonder Man. That's interesting. But it's MCU. Does he have powers? And then the next trailer came out. I was like, okay, it's about he has powers. What is the show about? And then as we're watching the show, I'm like, I hope we don't get 7 episodes of this nice grounded character story, and then in the last episode the aliens attack and we have to like I was like, oh, they're going to MCU it at the end. It's going to be a big blue sky beam. But no, there's no army of aliens. Nobody's trying to take over the world. It's just a personal story of a guy who happens to have powers and live in this universe. But nice. It's about his life and his aspirations and his family. And I was like, I like that. That's good. Let's do that more. Ground level story.
I really enjoy when Marvel does these types of stories where it's kind of isolated away from like the bigger MCU thread line and just kind of like, mm-hmm. here's how the universe works. Like, it's not about the plot of the universe. It's about how the universe like has been affected by the plot. And in this situation, you know, Simon being an actor, we come to find out that there is a law in place where you cannot have superpowers and be a professional actor. That's like wild. And also,
is that,
there's an episode that explains why.
Is that the only forbidden profession?
I'm sure that there are other ones. But for this show, we're specifically focused on like, you know, the entertainment side of this universe and what that means for somebody who has superpowers and to be kind of restricted in that way when your entire life's dream has been to be an actor. And I feel like that's a part of the universe that we usually wouldn't get to explore because we're usually so busy dealing with multiversal threats and all sorts of big monumental universal things. And this is just like, no, here's a guy who just really wants to be an actor. And here are the stakes involved in his life simply because he happens to have superpowers.
Yeah. Since we're not just too focused on shooting enemies out of the sky or whatever, we get to focus on this friendship between these two characters that seems very, like, they're both actors, so they have that in common. But on the surface, you look at it and it's like a very odd couple, like young black dude and old English ex-drug addict. Like,
ex-terrorist.
These two people. Yeah. But it works. It really works because they have the same passion and they care about each other.
In one of my reviews that I put on Serialized, I said that people were treating their in-universe relationship was being treated like Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande's.
Yeah, I could see that. When they do like the interview with, I think her name is Kathy Freeman. She comes in and they get their interview together.
Yeah.
They're a package deal.
Yeah, the package deal. The whole crew knows that they're like hanging out together all the time. They're besties. Like, it's like, that's like what their relationship is. And I just thought that was so funny. The way that actors have to like have this chemistry nowadays when they're doing their press tours. Even though that's not like the focus of what the show was trying to say, it legitimately is that these two men have such a great bond and a great friendship.
Yeah. And they both have their own struggle. So like the show is about Simon and we go into his family and his past and his loneliness.
Funny, I was about to actually dive into that.
He's kind of a jerk to the point where like,
I don't even think he's a jerk.
There's an episode where
I think he's just socially awkward. He doesn't know how to interact with human beings.
He's awkward, but he's also, the reason I say he's a jerk and I wouldn't have, aside from the Kathy Freeman episode where it's kind of about him deciding to pretend he's a nice person to everybody. And it's like the opposite of what he would normally do. But it's like, we want this woman to think you're nice. So act like you know these people's names and act like you care about them and act like you listen to people when they talk.
So it's funny because I wouldn't say that Simon's like mean. He's definitely a colder figure. And I think that's actually like probably one of the most interesting facets of his character is that he is so cold, and it is because he's so isolated and because he feels like he constantly has to put on an act in front of everybody. This is a man who loves acting, and his entire life is an act, and it's so much easier for him to, in his own real life, just not associate with people because then he doesn't have to act for them, despite that being his deepest desire, like his biggest ambition. And I like that contradiction in that character and having to like explore that in a person. I think that makes him such a complex and interesting character to follow through a show.
Yeah, especially because he does want to have friends. Like when we get the conversation with his mom and Trevor, he talks about how she can see that he's lonely and she's just so happy he has a friend. Also, Simon's mom is my favorite MCU character now. She is the sweetest woman.
She's great.
And I hope we protect her at all costs.
Speaking of side characters on the show, oh boy, I can't remember what his name is right now. Esteban? I hope he becomes a Madison-like character. I was like, he's up there with Madison as favorite MCU TV side characters because he's amazing.
The candy dealer?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was watching that episode. For those who don't know, I have
you have a candy addiction.
The way I've always described myself is a candy addict, and I am 3 months clean. Shout out to me.
What?
But it's funny because I'll tell you off mic, it's a whole thing. Watching this episode of like people bagging up work at a table and it turns out to be candy, I was like, feel that. I feel that. Like, for me, this is that work. This is snowfall. This isn't even just candy. But that was funny to me. And also, I have bagged up Sour Patch Kids like that in my past.
But anyway, we talked about Simon and how awesome of a character he is. I also really like Trevor's exploration as well, because he is a character that we've had a lot of fun with in the past, but I feel like this show really gets to dive into the depths of the character.
Definitely. One thing I like is that he keeps saying he's 13 years sober, and if you track that math, it goes back to the events of Iron Man 3, which came out in 2013. So it's like, yeah, he probably got sober after all that.
You know what? Sometimes you need a major push.
Yeah, and becoming a terrorist on accident might be that push
or
you need.
Or being thrown in jail and then being held hostage in an interdimensional space.
Yeah, with like little pillow animals.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? For me, it's funny because as we watch the show, people keep mentioning to Trevor that they've seen him in various roles. Like, oh, you're in that thing. You're in that thing. So that makes it hilarious to me because that means Killian in Iron Man 3 got a guy who's like
semi-famous.
Not really a complete no-name. He's like you're that guy from that thing, and made that guy his terrorist. So like when they were watching terrorist videos on the news, there are people like the Leo meme pointing at the screen like, hey, I know that dude. And it's like, what an odd choice in hindsight now.
Well, did he fully reveal his face in those videos? Because at first you couldn't see that it was him.
No, he fully reveals his face, but he looks
different.
Yeah,
he has like shades on. But
his hair styled differently.
Yeah.
And he's using a different accent.
Yeah, he changes his voice and accent. But also, New Rockstar, shout out to them, pointed out that a lot of the things people comment on Trevor being in are Ben Kingsley roles in real life.
Yeah.
So it's like almost like if you saw Ben Kingsley making a terrorist video, you're like, what's going on over there? Is that Gandhi?
I do really enjoy the way that the show opens up that character through his friendship with Simon and just like exploring what doing the terrorist videos did to him, what the aspirations. It's really interesting because they pull from Iron Man 3 and Shang-Chi very well. With Iron Man 3, they're pulling from he was a terrorist in that movie, so how does that impact your life? And then in Shang-Chi, he talked quite, even though he's like comic relief in that movie, he does talk a lot about his mother and his dreams and like what he wanted to do with his life in that movie. And so taking those things and showing how they impact who he is on different levels and not just like what we've seen of him thus far. I think they do a really good job with that. And just giving him an actual character arc too, because the last two MCU projects he's been in, you know, he's there to play a particular role within the story that doesn't really require depth. And this time around, it's like, no, you're a person now. Trevor is not just comic relief. He's not just the mask of a villain. He is a person. How do you feel? What are the things that scare you? What are the things that make you sad and upset? What are the things that make you happy? What makes this character conflicted? And again, this is why I like really enjoyed the show, because I felt like it was very much about the characters and not so much about like the plot. Like, the plot is a guy wants to get his dream role. Like, that's the plot of the show.
Right. Yeah.
But it really lets us, it's a simple enough plot that we get to, like, dive into who these people are.
Yeah.
And I think
a lot
they do
more
it well.
Character driven. Mm-hmm. They do. I would say, like, for me, I got to the point where I was consistently liking the show, never, like, adored it. It was, like, a good 4 stars across the board.
Agreed.
When I was doing my serialized reviews. Like, everything was 4. Nothing was 5. Nothing got lower than 4. But that's good. That's very solid. There's just certain things that I'm like, we get to a point when obviously I'm not going to give details because it's a spoiler, but something is revealed and the way that the character who is finding this out reacts feels like a scene that I've seen 1,000 times before. Like, oh, you did this thing. I can't believe you. This isn't the dialogue, but like if you hear the actual dialogue in the scene, you'll be like,
well, yeah,
that went like we've seen it so many times.
So I will say that, because it's so simple, there is a level of predictability to the show.
Yeah.
I never count that as a bad thing for certain things, because I'm like, if you're doing the thing well, I'm not mad at you for being predictable. Mm-hmm. You're hitting the story beat that you need to hit, because that's the story. That's where we emotionally need to go. And I think that this show
did it. Right, you can see where it's going to.
Yeah, like this show did it so good that it was like, great. One of my favorite things that they do on the show, even though it's so very simple, is that they parallel Simon and Trevor's relationship with the two characters that they're auditioning for in the show.
Right,
like, as soon as they mention the audition or the callback scene in like episode 4 or whatever, I'm like, yeah, that's where this story is going. This is really nice. I like that you guys are doing this parallel of like, you two are not just like, it's not just you guys auditioning for these characters. You are these characters in real life and you just don't know it yet.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And like, yeah, that's super simple symbolism, super simple parallel. But I'm like, but it's effective. It works.
Mm-hmm. Good parallel. Sometimes the simplest thing is the answer for a reason.
I also really love Ex Mayo in this.
Yeah.
I love her in The Blackening. So I was really excited to see her here.
One of her favorite lines in the show is when she's talking to him on the phone. And, you know, he has his idiosyncrasies and his ways of assessing over things. And she's like, just be normal. Can you play that? Normal man. The breakdown is go method. And I was like, I love her. She's so funny.
Also, shout out to the show for just having like the most random guest star appearances, like cameo as celebrity cameos. Because when Ashley Greene shows up in the first episode, I was like, Alice from Twilight? What are we? Oh, you're just playing yourself? What? What a pull. So what a grab.
I didn't recognize her. And when he says, I loved you in Twilight, I look because I've seen Twilight. I was like, who is this woman? And you know, her hair is different. She has a very recognizable short haircut in Twilight.
Her hair is very long. Yeah.
So I was like, who is this? Is she actually in Twilight or was that like a joke? Well, that's a weird joke to make. And then I watched the new rock stars and they're like, it's Alice in Twilight. Like, oh, her hair is different.
Yeah.
And it's been like
so many years.
15 years.
Yeah. I love Ashley Green. So like immediately I was like, hey, what? That's insane. And then we continue to get like random guest stars throughout the season. That's really
those
funny.
Are great.
Really, really funny. I'm actually surprised that the callback episode didn't have some random actor cameo in it just to be like one of the actors who was also auditioning for Wonder Man.
Yeah, I would think because they had a whole group of people and I'm like, oh, none of y'all are.
These are all made up actors for the show. Like you guys didn't just grab like, it's not like when Josh Gad appears in episode like 5 or whatever.
Which we didn't talk about that episode, but that episode is so interesting to me.
It feels like an Atlanta episode, kind of.
Everyone is saying that. Yes, and it does. It feels like an Atlanta episode in the MCU. And now I want more stuff like that in the MCU.
Yeah. I know everybody wants like the MCU to constantly connect to itself. But honestly, there's something so refreshing when we just get stories that just exist in the universe and don't feel like they have to like lead us to Doomsday or Secret Wars or whatever.
Right.
There's also like, I feel like when that happens, sometimes the connection overshadows the thing itself.
Yeah.
Because like, how many people are watching this going, okay, but when is, you know, when is fucking this character going to show up? They're like, okay, we need you to fight, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. And it happens all the time.
I think that's partially why I'm very excited about the future of the DC universe as it's currently going in movies, because it sounds like they're very much just like, we're just telling stories that happen to all exist in this universe. So
yeah,
like Clayface ain't gonna have nothing to do with Supergirl.
Yeah, it's a weird goop man. You're gonna be a weird goop man.
He gonna have something to do with Batman, but it might not even have anything to do with the Batman movie that's coming out.
Right, we'll find out when we get there. Not everything has to be Wonder Man will return and Doomsday.
Yeah, it's okay. We don't have to go back to acting. 2013 MCU where they were promising that it's all connected when it wasn't.
Yeah, you ain't got a lot of us no more.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I still love you.
Hmm.
Hey, I got a full 7 seasons. Time. It completed. Boom.
That's good. I didn't watch it. I just remember thinking, being confused from the bit that I did watch and being like, so he's not dead? Or he is dead? Feige says he's dead, but the show says he's not dead. But it worked out.
Who knows? I don't.
Not me.
They don't know either. Anyway, that's our review of Wonder Man. 4 stars all the way across. I really enjoyed it.
Fun times. Very much liked it. Shout out to Yaya. Shout out to everybody.
Loved Yaya's performance.
Speaking of shout outs, there's a YouTuber. I don't know if he's a YouTuber anymore. Named Alpha Cat, who was like the first person I subscribed to on YouTube. And he used to do parody videos of Barack Obama making rap songs. And I was like, haha, this is funny. I love it. This is the peak of comedy. And he's in the show a little bit. He's in the audition room when Trevor's in there. He's like, oh, man, he's killing it in there. And I was like, that's Alpha Cat. Look at you in the MCU.
It's so cool.
For one scene. Happy for you.
Also, I just want to say that I am probably one of the few people in the world who was actually very excited about Wonder Man getting a project, because while I am not like a Wonder Man fan, like I wasn't reading Wonder Man comics, like I said, I did enjoy what I read of him in Ms. Marvel run that I absolutely loved, and I loved him in that. So that was enough for me to be like, oh my gosh, Wonder Man's getting a show? Yeah, man.
They made it for you.
When he gets to put on the actual comic book costume, chef's kiss, he looked so good in it. So good.
He did. That was great.
But yes, that is Wonder Man. Cassie, did you do a 10-minute take?
Oh, I did.
Oh, here she we did. Go.
Dallas told me to, so I did.
Thanks.
So here's the thing. It took me a while to figure out what name I wanted to use when I started transitioning, you know, because I really need to figure out, like, what do I feel like embodies me? What do I want to take inspiration from? Yada, yada. And so I picked something that I do really like. So when I see that name used elsewhere in something that, from what I understand, is not very well regarded, it makes me a little sad. All of this to say, I watched the first 10 minutes of Madam Web.
Oh! That's not where I thought this was going.
That's not where I thought this was going earlier. Either.
But now I get it. Now it makes sense. It makes sense.
It's like I knew, but I forgot. And then, like, Ben Parker says it. And I was like, oh no. So, yeah, the first 10 minutes of Madam Web.
That's so funny, because me and Dallas were just talking about that movie last night.
That's
I mean,
true.
I'm probably going to end up watching all of it just because I want to see it. But, like, yeah. But the first 10 minutes, I mean, whew. Okay. So, as we all know, her mother was studying spiders in the Amazon.
Of course.
And that's famously how the movie starts, right?
Is that how it starts?
Somehow.
It starts with her photographing a spider because she's looking for the magic spiders that do the superhuman bullshit. You know, and then the villain, who we don't know is the villain yet, shows up. But I know he's the villain because he has the name. And I'm like, yeah, that's you. And he's like, yo, brought you an umbrella. Let's talk about the spiders so that you can tell me what you think about the spiders. And I can mention the creepy spider people who will come back in a minute. My God. And then, like, he goes back to the camp. He's, like, looking at her notes and shit. And then she shows up. She's like, yo, I found the spider. It looks like a weird CG mess. It's crazy. And then he's yo. And he just starts murking folks because he wants that spider. And everyone else is dead. And he's like, give me the spider. She's like, no. He's like, give me the spider. She's like, no. So then he shoots her. But it's one of those, like, I didn't have to do this. You could have just given me the spider. You chose to shoot her, bruh. You can just knock her down. Damn. Also, she's pregnant. That's important. And so he shoots her and he takes the spider. But then I guess he gets away. He must, or something. But then the Las Arañas show up and Jesus Christ, they are upsetting. I don't know it's like if you took a Spider-Man suit and you like left it to just rot for a very long time and then tried to wear it, that's what they look like. And it's bad.
All right.
But anyway, they show up and they take the mom and they're like, yo, you can give birth in our pool here and the spider is going to bite you to like keep you alive and it's going to get into your kid. And like, well, she's going to come back for answers. And when she does, we'll be here. And then we cut, hard cut to, well, the mom dies, which rip.
It'd be like that.
We hard cut to Cassie in an ambulance with Ben Parker, who is not Ben Parker yet. That gets mentioned a few minutes later, driving somebody to the hospital, and they get to the hospital and they deposit the dude. And then the family's there and they give Cassie a drawing and something. And then she and Ben are talking about stuff. They're eating Chinese food. He gets a fortune. She doesn't get a fortune. Hers like is smudged. So it just says you will, which is very vague and I guess would mean something later, but I don't know. Also, I'm pretty sure we see two of the young women who are going to end up being her, like, whatever the fuck they are.
Spider people.
I think we see two of them.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm not sure. Because there's a girl who's, like, skateboarding and stops in front of the ambulance. And there's a very long, significant look of, like, you're going to be important later. And then there's this other girl who's like, oh, you brought in my stepmom. But, like, my dad doesn't want me to go in the room with her. So I'm going to go back to the apartment.
Oh, the Sydney Sweeney one.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Is she white or Hispanic?
No, that's Sydney Sweeney's character. Because she was she was the one who I was like, oh, that's so sad. Her family just hates her.
I guess I should have looked at her titties more. Well.
Yeah, that's the easy way.
The movie tries to cover her up more because she's supposed to be the nerdy one.
Oh, nerds can't have titties?
No.
The fuck not have movies. I been doing? All right. Well, glad I'm not an actor.
No titties for you, Ken.
You know, killing me. Ben has a partner, I guess, but we don't know who it is, which is weird. She asked the name, and then he doesn't say. And then she's like, oh, it's serious. I was like, why wouldn't you just say the fucking... Anyway, and then it cuts to her walking somewhere, and that's where the 10 minutes ends. I assume going home. So, Madam Web, right, everybody.
You got the gist.
Well, no, not at all, actually. It doesn't get into the fact that she can see the future or the spider people or who the villain actually... No, I didn't get the gist.
You saw the spider people?
I didn't... If I... Well, okay, but I mean the kids, the...
Oh, those people.
Yeah. If I didn't know...
You get a hint that they're important.
Sure.
It was funny. I was about to say, oh, you haven't met Isabella Merced yet? I feel like you should have, but no, I think you're about to meet her after that cut.
Mm. Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So what did you think of the first 10 minutes?
I mean, I, you know, Sony needs to stop.
Except for the Spider-Verse movies.
Yeah, Sony Animation, keep going.
You know, it's fine. It's just like, I didn't need it. I don't know. I mean, I'm probably going to watch the rest of the movie at some point because I was actually excited for that movie, even though that was a mistake, probably.
I don't want to say mistake, but, you know, to each their own.
I'll be fascinated to know your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I will definitely tell you them. If I didn't know anything about the movie, that first 10 minutes probably would have put me off for the spider people. If I wasn't expecting superhero stuff, because that's wild to do in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, that would be a pretty jarring. What the hell is going on? Why are they almost Spider-Man?
Like, okay, minute one, they already say the spider gives super strength. So I'm like, okay, we know what this is. But the spider people in the Amazon are wild.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you had seen it because it seems like a movie you would watch. So
no,
like,
I wanted
to. On the note,
to.
I was like, I think
I just never got
this,
around to it.
Know. Yeah, you'll probably like it. Like, I say this in a respectful way. You like certain bad things.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
It's true.
I thought that you and I were the ones of like, it's not really objectively bad or good. And now you're over here saying
no,
I like bad things. That's wild.
It's not objectively bad. I think like you like things that you find to be bad and entertaining.
Yes.
So I feel like you can watch this movie and be like, I think this is bad, but I'm having a great time.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So I'm not like this movie's objectively bad. I'm like, you'll probably think it's bad, but still dig it.
Probably.
Yeah. So have fun.
I will.
Before we move into like a semi-news roundup, Dallas, is there anything that you've been watching that you want to just real fast just kind of talk about? Let me correct myself. I know you've been watching a bunch of stuff. Me and you have ridiculous watch lists right now. What do you...
This is true. Honestly, yeah, just want to give another shout out to that wrestling crowd that started chanting fuck ICE at the wrestling event. Because I started watching All Elite Wrestling recently. It's a different company from WWE. And by all accounts, less evil.
Oh, good.
I started watching this year. And one of their wrestlers, his name is Brody King, I think. I'm still learning, everybody. He wore an Abolish ICE t-shirt at an event recently.
Hey.
And then during his match this past weekend, that's when the crowd started chanting.
Nice.
And it was delightful to see and hear and see the positive reactions that it's getting. Mm-hmm. Also, shout out to the wrestling fan community on Tumblr. They are very helpful and informative and supportive. Because Cassie, you know, I always post my like, I want to talk about wrestling.
I do too.
While I'm watching.
I follow you.
Yeah. And it's a bunch of, yes, you do. And it's like a bunch of random thoughts that I have.
Yeah.
And one of them, while I was watching AEW, I was like, there's too many teams. I don't know these people. I need help. And I jokingly was like, I'm going to need a cheat sheet. I posted it. Within minutes, someone was like, hey, are you serious about needing a cheat sheet? Because I'll make one.
Oh,
that's so nice.
I've never met this person. I have no idea who this
person
is.
That's so nice.
And I would shout them out, but they have a word that I don't want to say in your Tumblr name.
Oh,
fair enough.
Okay.
It's like, I think it's okay for them to say it, if they're a part of the community. I'm not going to say it. I'll tell you later. Shout out to, you know who you are if you're listening to this. I don't know how you would be.
Is there?
Shout out to them. Yeah, they made a whole like Google Doc with a list of like all the teams and who's the leaders and who's in what team. I was like, this is fantastic.
That's awesome. Love Tumblr.
Tumblr's great. And every question I've had has just been answered by like, oh, that was from this thing. And I was like, y'all are real ones. Shout out to the wrestling fans. And fuck guys.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Real fast, I am currently rewatching Monarch Legacy of Monsters because season 2 is coming. Mm-hmm. And I was late to the party when it first came out, which means that I actually don't remember if it was talked about on the podcast. I feel like Dallas probably brought it up at some point, but probably not a full-on
review.
I think so.
I don't remember.
I don't
Maybe
think
we
a
did
full
review
it. Because I was watching it, but I dropped it. So I don't know if we did a full review.
I don't know, and I don't remember. But in any case, we will probably review it this season because I'm big on it now because this is now my favorite thing in the MonsterVerse because I love these characters. I'm here for the characters, not so much the monsters. The monsters are fun. I do enjoy whenever the monsters pop up, but I do legitimately watch this show for the character drama. I can't help it. I love it so much. And I'm really excited to see what they do with season two. It should be a lot of fun. They're introducing a new monster this season. I'm excited to see what we're going to do. But I'm rewatching season one right now, which has been a lot of fun. Because like I said, I really enjoy these characters. And I would love for these characters to show up in one of these MonsterVerse movies one day, but it probably won't happen. It's okay. I'll just stick with the show. It's fine. But super excited for season two to start up in a few weeks. But that leads us to one of my favorite things. Oh, actually, also, I wanted to make a disclaimer. Because in our most anticipated movies of the year list, I talked about Cliffhanger. One, it's a movie from the 90s, not the 80s. I got that wrong. Sorry, guys. Number two, I said it's Lily James' first action movie. Now, I did put a PSA in that video that said that I was not counting Baby Driver because she is not the protagonist of Baby Driver.
Right.
And then a few weeks later, I remembered that Pride and Prejudice and Zombies exists. And that's one of my favorite movies. Well, not one of my favorite movies, but it's a movie that I love. And it is my favorite version of Pride and Prejudice. And I forgot that she has a bunch of action scenes in that movie. So I was incorrect. It's not her first action movie, but it is her first action movie of this kind. So I just wanted to correct myself because I was wrong and I wanted to acknowledge that.
That's big of you. We respect it.
Yes, I was wrong. There's also a different opinions that we did about Wicked for Good. And I think I misunderstood what that person was saying in that message, and I can't remember what it was because it was a couple weeks ago when I remembered, or that I was listening to it and I realized that I had misunderstood what they were commenting to us. I think they were talking about Galinda shouting Fiero's name and that not being on the soundtrack, in which case I do agree with that person. I do believe that they should have put that in there because I really enjoyed Ariana Grande's Fiero, because I also just think that's a great part of the song. So yes, I think that is what they were talking about, if I'm remembering correctly. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what they were talking about. And I just wanted to correct myself on that as well. Wanted to take a second to correct myself in several different ways. Anyway, news roundup.
All right.
Is there anything coming up that you guys are excited about that has had a trailer release recently or news has dropped about it? What are you thinking about in the pop culture sphere?
One day I will remember that we do this and I will come with something ready.
Well, so
right now I don't.
On your most anticipated list, I don't know if you've seen the trailer yet, because you had, I don't remember if this was on your honorable mentions or in like the actual list, but you had Masters of the Universe on there. Have you seen the trailer for that yet?
I did see the trailer for that. It didn't do a lot for me, but I'm watching this movie for Travis Knight mostly, the director.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm still going to watch it. I watched the trailer. I was like, all right. But yeah, like I'm still going to watch it because I like Travis Knight a lot.
I'm somebody who has no connection to the original Masters of the Universe cartoon series or the 2002 one. I did watch the Kevin Smith ones, which I absolutely adored. And I was like, huh, I wonder if those shows have made me care at all about Masters of the Universe. Apparently it did, because I was watching this trailer like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I didn't know I was this excited for Masters of the Universe. Nicholas Galitzine scene in like the He-Man costume, I was like, yes, yeah, this looks good. Seeing Camila Mendez as Tila, and I was concerned because one of my favorite things that Masters of the Universe that Kevin Smith did, they added to Tila's lore, and I think she's always been the sorceress's daughter, but I think it was revealed on Kevin Smith's show that she is also the daughter of Man-at-Arms and not just like his adopted surrogate child.
Okay.
So Camila Mendez has confirmed that Idris Elba is indeed playing her dad. And so I'm so hyped. I'm so excited.
Interesting.
I was like, oh man, are we on some Cinderella 1997 stuff? Or is this like an adopted? I don't care. I'm just very happy that they are acknowledging that that is her dad. And I'm hoping that it doesn't really matter because if he's her dad, like, but like, Marina Baccarin is playing the sorceress and Camila Mendez is playing Tila, and they are both Brazilian. And I'm like, wait, they might actually be mom and daughter in the movie. I might win. I might get a full win on this one. So super hyped. I didn't know I cared about the lore of Masters of the Universe that much until I was watching that trailer. And I was like, oh, I do care.
Nice. You learned something about yourself.
Yeah. I do hope it does well enough because I do want She-Ra to show up. I am mad that some of this movie takes place on Earth, though. Not happy about that.
Right. Mm.
There have been some other trailers that have come out recently, too. That's the one that's on my head right now.
I guess not trailer, but shout out to Black Man. Mike Flanagan's Exorcist series got, I think, Chiwetel Ejiofor and Lawrence Fishburne.
Mm, yeah.
Is it a series or a movie? Yeah. I can't remember.
It's a movie. Because Scarlett Johansson is immediately going to go film The Batman Part 2.
Okay. Well, I'm going to see it.
Yeah, 100%.
I like who's making it. I like who's in it. I've never seen The Exorcist. Don't know if I should. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if that's for you. I mean, you like horror.
I do. And I like, you know, I did think that the best Conjuring movie is The Possession one. So.
Okay. Might be worth a shot.
Yeah.
Dallas, we got a Daredevil trailer.
We did. And they used Gambino and it made me so happy.
The squad is coming back. I'm getting Caredevil back. I'm so excited about that. I liked season one, but I did feel her absence, like, hardcore. And so I'm very glad to have Karen back, like, as a lead on the show. It just, the show didn't feel fully right without at least having Karen or Foggy on it. Like, Foggy's already haunting the narrative, so that's fine. But, like, Karen wasn't there. And I was like, it just doesn't feel the same. So I'm glad that
it felt more like, yeah, like a back. Different show than a continuation.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
So glad she's back. Glad to have her back. And glad to see that they're not wasting all that chemistry. Because dear God, I've been waiting years.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Ridiculous amount of years. Also, we got news that Clayface, the date got pushed back to October for spooky season.
Spooky season, Clayface. Now I got something to specifically watch during the Halloween season. And I love it.
And it's a horror movie, like straight up horror, I'm assuming. We'll get a trailer one day.
Bring me the goop.
You excited for the goop?
Bring me the goop. Bring me the goop.
All right. I don't think Gwyneth Paltrow's going to show up, but.
You don't know. I would say Jesse and I have been doing a rewatch of Batman the Animated Series. And on the last night we did, we got to the Clayface episode.
Yeah.
One of the best episodes of TV. Full stop. It's so good and it's perfect. And I'm probably going to have to rewatch it again. In October.
I think the article mentioned that the Clayface movie is going to be Matt Hagen. So,
yes, it is. I saw that on Wikipedia. I'm happy because that's my Clayface.
Should be a lot of fun. I'm so curious as to how that Clayface is going to match with the one that we met in Creature Commandos.
Yeah, I'm wondering how similar it's going to be. Or if James Gunn's just going to like let that go. Because I know he said initially, you know, animated versions and the live action versions are going to be tied together. But Clayface was not very vital in that show.
Yeah, I think it really depends on the characters. Like, I think the main actors of Creature Commandos will probably always play those characters in live action or in animated form. But I do think, like, the smaller guest roles are, like, up for grabs. Especially because Alan Tudyk was already playing a main character on that show. Like, they probably weren't going to be like, yeah, you can also play Clayface.
Right.
Although, I mean, he could get away with it. Sean Gunn is playing Weasel. And Maxwell Lord.
Well, those two are probably not going to be in scenes together, so.
They're also very different characters. One of them is a weasel.
Very different. Weasel could be anybody. I think that's everything, yeah?
Yeah, that's it.
We did it.
Look at us.
First episode of Black History Month is in the books. Hey. Shout out to Gabby for leaving us alone, I guess. Thank you, audience, for listening to all of that. We love you. Thank you, Crown Digital, Brandon, and Io for putting us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Thank you to me for editing and putting us on YouTube and watching Wonder Man so I have someone to talk to about it.
Yay! Always. You know I'm always down to watch superhero stuff with you.
Same. Cassie, thank you for your 10-minute take and also watching superhero stuff. Very different superhero stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you saw when you're named twins, so that's fun, right?
I guess.
Yeah, fair. Audience. You can reach us in the comments, as always, or you can hit us on Instagram and Tumblr at Creative Differences Podcast, Facebook.com/Creative Differences PC, or TikTok at Creative Differences Pod. If you want to talk to me about my past life bagging up Sour Patch Kids on a table like a drug dealer, you can find me on Instagram or Letterboxd or Serialized at A King Named Simba.
You can find me on Blue Sky at Sassy Soothsayer. Talk to me about, I don't know, something. I don't got a lot going on. I'll be watching stuff, so I don't know.
All right.
Dallas finally got me to join Serialized. So you guys can find me on Letterboxd and on Serialized at Demi Joie. Joie is spelled J-O-I-E. Serialized, I'm having a lot, just like a little bit more fun. I'm not going super in depth with like TV reviews and stuff like that. I'm just kind of giving like really shorthand thoughts and stuff like that. So typically only do episode reviews. I typically don't do like overall season or TV show reviews. So there's a lot of stuff that you can rate on there. It's a lot.
Yes. It's a lot.
Just, you can come look at my pattern and see how I'm doing things. But thank you guys for joining us again for another episode of the Creative Differences podcast. Tune in next time. We're just going whenever we feel like it.
We'll see. You find Gabby on Blue Sky at Went Black and Never Went Back.
Hey!
It's all one word.
Accurate.
She says happy Black History Month. All right, it's been different. Bye.
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 So, kind of just winging it with this tag. But question for both of you. Since Wonder Man is like a superhero story, but not like a big superhero story. Because it's a show about actors. So, like, if you could watch any MCU set story that's just about, like, regular people in a profession, what would you pick?
Chefs.
Like, that was so quick. I love that.
I watch a lot of cooking shows.
Okay. Like The Bear, but in the MCU?
Oh, it doesn't even have to be The Bear. It could be like a cooking competition show. I don't know, whatever. But yes. Sure, give Jeremy Allen White some powers. I don't know.
The Great Sokovian Bake Off.
Nice. I mean, I feel like this is the show that Wonder Man is probably the show that I would want.
That's true. You would
Hollywood
be very
based. Yeah. Outside of like Hollywood based, I don't know. I think it would be fun to do something like, I'm hoping that Peter Parker, for instance, finally gets his Daily Bugle drop. So like, it could be cool to have like a TV series, like an MCU or a DCU TV series set at like the Daily Bugle or at like the Daily Planet, where we just focus on like the journalists who are working there and all the craziness that they're having to write about.
I dig that. Didn't think of an answer when I asked the question, but I'm going to say, I want, like, it's funny because I don't even really watch these shows, but I think it'd be interesting in the MCU, like a reality show, like where you put a bunch of people in a house.
That would be crazy,
like
fun.
Big Brother, real world stuff like that. But then like some of them just happen to have powers.
You know what this reminds me of?
It'd be so messy.
When I got super into the Flag Smashers, and there's a compilation video on YouTube of all the actors who play the Flag Smashers just hanging out in like hotel rooms and traveling around together and stuff to film Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And I was like, I want that show of just the Flag Smashers hanging out, not even doing like all their terrorist stuff, just them hanging out in hotel rooms and singing R&B music.
Yeah, a show like that, but with the messiness of reality TV. All right, Kevin Feige, you got three ideas. Make it happen.